Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, if you've ever read the Bible, you'd probably know that the Bible says faith without good works is dead. It's a dead faith. And as a result, there are entire church movements that have been built around doing good deeds in the community. At the same time, the Bible also says, well, you can't get to heaven by doing good deeds, only by faith in Jesus and what he's done for you. And so there are entire churches built around that principle as well, focusing all their energy on simply communicating the message of personal salvation. Author James Brian Smith says, to truly be a follower of Jesus, you need to have a balance between both of them. Faith needs to be very personal, but also very practical at the same time, not just one or the other. James is an author and speaker on Christian spirituality. He's released three books. One's called The Good and Beautiful God. The other one is called The Good and Beautiful Life. And this one that we're talking about over the next few weeks as we do this series with him is called The Good and Beautiful Community. And it shows what can happen when we marry faith and acts of service together. He's on the line and with us now. James, welcome to Open House.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we were just talking about that balance between this kind of personal faith and then practical service. You talk about a conversation you had with Dallas Willard, who's a well-known writer in this field too, and he said the true social activist is the person who lives as an apprentice of Jesus in his or her ordinary relationships. It kind of brought the whole personal, individual, and practical social thing together for you, didn't it?
Yeah, when he asked that question, I remember my mind was spinning and I was trying to think of people like Mother Teresa or someone that I think, well, that person is truly an activist for social good. But when he gave the answer, I was really stunned because he basically was saying that it's not so much in the activities. Any person can go and do some good work, but the apprentice of Jesus, well, a follower of Christ, is a person who's arranging his or her life around a set of ideas and teachings and a faith, and that would demonstrate itself in ordinary relationships. So when Dallas said that, it really made me begin to think about my life at a different level. Instead of, do I have faith and do I do good works, it really was, am I the certain kind of person that you see that faith life lived out in every area of my life, every relationship, as a husband, as a parent, as a college professor, going through the fast food line, every person I come into contact with, that what's inside of me comes out, and that's the genius of what Dallas was saying.
And when a whole group of people get together and practice that together, it becomes what you've called, and I love the phrase, the good and beautiful community. When did you cotton on to this idea that community was just such an important topic to basically devote, you know, one book of this trilogy of books to?
When I started to realize, and it was still keying off of that statement Dallas made about the true social activist is the person who lives out this faith life in all their relationships, I began to think about community on a different level, because I used to think community was mainly like what we did in church worship, so the church community, or maybe a small group community, a group of 8 to 10 people living together in relationship. But this made me begin to think that we have countless relationships, and that we are in one really big community called, you know, the planet Earth here, and it made me start thinking about what it is that ought to be different about a person who claims to be following Christ in terms of how they live in that community.
Well, this book brings together 8-odd chapters about what this kind of good and beautiful community might look like when, you know, personal faith and social actions are actually brought together. You talk about this community being a hopeful community, a serving community, an encouraging community, a generous community, a worshiping community, a reconciling community. We're going to explore those over the next 7 weeks or so. Tonight, though, let's start on this really interesting word. You say that the Christian community is actually called to be a peculiar community. Now, straight away, people are saying, that sounds a bit weird. We'll unpack it in just a second. But the fact is that you grew up in a church that was anything, it's going a little bit far, but it wasn't really that good and beautiful, was it? This is really kind of where you get the idea from.
Yeah, I grew up in a church that was the style of worship was very cold, and there was a distance, and it was more of a social event. You went to church to be seen by other people. It was more like a social club, I think, in many ways, and boring to me, frankly, as a kid. I just didn't see anything terribly interesting at all. But when I went to college, I was invited to go to a campus fellowship gathering, and there were about 50 students packed in a room that held 30, so we were like a can of sardines all tightly wound together. But all these people had something that I'd never seen before. They genuinely worshipped God. They seemed to really care about each other. There were a number of handicapped people that they had gone out on their various parts of campus and made sure that they got there. And it was this mixture of all the races and the social type and all these things. And I'd never seen anything like that. And I was really quite stunned. And one of the things that a person said to me, this was a few months before I wrote that chapter, he was very depressed. This was a guy I go to church with. And he said, "Why is it that my non-Christian friends always say to me, Christians are no different than anybody else?" And that really struck me. And, of course, statistically, you know, the divorce rate's similar between Christian and non. And there's some truth to that statement. We are, in some ways, not different. But then the man looked at me and said, "But we ought to be." And then I began to research Christian history and looked at the ways that throughout history we were very peculiar in the good sense of the word, meaning that we showed different values and did different things than the world has ever seen.
Yes. James Brian Smith is with us. He's the author of The Good and Beautiful Community. We're doing this series on what Christian community can and indeed should be, and in many cases actually is. This is Open House right across the nation. All right, just give us some sketches then as to this peculiar nature of what true Christian community can actually look like.
Well, the main thing is that is this different kind of love that we've seen throughout Christian history. Jesus himself was self-sacrificing. And we see that many people who follow him demonstrate that same attitude in life, you know, giving of yourself for the good of another. And so this peculiar concept the early church picked up on, which is the Greek word agape, which was one of their several words they had for love. But agape meant a love that is willing to sacrifice your needs for the benefit of someone else. And the early church demonstrated that. And we see this in the first several centuries of the church. I have some statistics in the book that were really staggering about the dramatic increase of Christianity over a short period of time. It went from a small band of people to the dominant religion in the world in just a few centuries. We've never seen anything quite like that.
Yeah.
I think it has to do something with the fact that they're demonstrating this agape, this different kind of love.
And they did it. I mean, when you trace, say, today's orphanages back to their root, you find that it actually goes back to those early Christian communities, don't you? You know, when the Romans were actually exposing their children and just leaving them out, basically it was infanticide, and the Christians were taking them in. Whether it be hospitals, whether it be hospices, whether it be orphanages, all of those things go back to the early Christian church of those first couple of centuries, and it was radical agape, self-giving love.
Yeah, and really quite stunning. And that's certainly not to say that Buddhists or Hindus or Muslims or Jews don't demonstrate good acts of self-sacrifice. But there was something unique about the way and the reason Christians did it, and it had to do with the fact that Jesus himself was the model. You know, you have phrases like, love one another as I have loved you, or Paul's word in Colossians to the Colossian community, forgive each other as Christ forgave you. So that we do this as the master teacher did these things, and we do that not only to imitate, but we do it because we have his power in us to do these things. And as you mentioned, a great example, in my city alone, there are three hospitals. All three of them were founded by Christian organizations. And nearly every one of the homeless shelters, the Union Rescue Mission, all these things were founded on Christian principles. So that statement that guy made about why is it that non-Christians say Christians aren't different, well, That's true, but on the other hand, we really have been different for a long time.
Mm, indeed. Now, let's come to the present moment. Give me some examples of peculiar Christian community, of that kind of agape, that Greek word for love, that agape loving action in real present-day history. Give me one example. I mean, one example that you talk about in the book is your sister's church running a funeral for a gay man.
Yeah. Yeah, and regardless of where a person stands on the issue of homosexuality, the truth was is that this man had died, and he was openly gay. He wasn't a part of the church; his parents were, but they held this this funeral, and there was a group that was picketing because they had heard that this funeral was happening. And we have this unfortunate actually church here in my own state of Kansas that goes and pickets funerals of soldiers and gay people. And, and so they were outside protesting, and it was very cold. And so the members of her church actually went out and gave hot chocolate to these people who were heckling them and protesting. And it was a demonstration of saying, you know, you disagree with me, but I'm still going to show love to you.
Yeah, that is really
peculiar.
It is very peculiar because, I mean, the church that you're talking about, the whole world knows about now because of their quite overt picketing against gays. I mean, they have these signs up saying God hates fags and all these other things which are really quite repulsive. I mean, that's an amazing act of love to go and then show that back to them. Tell me about something else that you've heard about. You know, what other examples of radical Christian community or love have you seen in recent days?
You know, it was so fun to write this book. I actually wrote this book with a community of about 12 people, and we met every week. And these were just amazing, amazing men and women. I dedicated the book to them, and every week they would come. They're humble people, but they would give examples of the kinds of things they were seeing and doing, and it was really, really so encouraging. I mean, there's one couple who. They are choosing intentionally to live in community to save money, so they live with two other Christian couples, and they do that so that they can not have to spend so much time working to sort of pay for a certain level of living, so, which leaves them a lot of time, which they invest in working with people who are homeless, and they just every week they would update us with stories about people they would meet. We live in a very self-centered culture, so that's why it's so peculiar.
This is Open House Across the Nation. James Brian Smith is the author of The Good and Beautiful Community. We're talking about just what Christian community can and could be, and indeed in many places is. What I think I like about the book is the fact that you have disciplines, some sort of activities at the end of each chapter, which people can go and start practicing these kinds of aspects of Christian community. This particular chapter we're focusing on tonight is the peculiarity, this self-giving love. Now, you talk about this program called 2x4, 2 hours spent with God, 4 acts of service per week. Can you outline the challenge and then give me some examples as to what that might look like in practice for people?
Well, you alluded earlier to the balance between personal faith and social action. I come from a Methodist tradition, so Wesley called them acts of piety and acts of mercy. And one of the things that I appreciate about Wesley is he showed that you really need to have both of those things, that if you have acts of piety without acts of mercy, you have sort of a dead legalistic religion. If you have acts of mercy without acts of piety, you have just acts of social justice that are cut off from God. Mm. So the idea with that exercise was to say, try to give God 2 hours of your week. Now, I don't know exactly what it is in Australia, but in America, the last statistic I saw is that the average American watches 28 hours of television a week. Well, and not television, just screen time, so that includes the internet and so forth, but I was challenging people there with this exercise to say, can you just give God 2 hours? And that would even include an hour if you went to worship. But to sort of carve out 15 minutes a day or something just to be still and be with God and think about God, and that nurtures that inner life. But then also think about giving out. So if you could do 4 selfless acts, and then they don't have to be heroic. They can be, you know, doing the laundry for your family or shoveling your neighbor's snow off their their driveway or something.
For us, it'd be raking the leaves off the lawn.
Yeah, there you go, raking. Yeah, that's right. For us, we get some serious snow here. So,
yeah,
something that you didn't have to do, and the exercise was designed to help people begin to sort of make that connection between their relationship with God and their relationship with others.
Yes. All right. 2x4, 2 hours with God every week. 4 acts of service, something practical that is an act of love for somebody else. There's the challenge for the next week until we meet you in 7 days' time. Good to talk to you, James, and I look forward to continuing the series then.
I do too. Thank you.
Yeah, James Brian Smith, author of The Good and Beautiful Community. Next week, we're going to continue the series on talking about the hopeful community. Looking forward to what activities we might be putting in place then.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.